Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
We continue in this series that I've called Life in the Spirit. And it is, it's going to go on for a while. I hope that's okay with you. I feel like this is a season in the life of our church, and I'm not going to be surprised if it's the same kind of thing that God is doing in other churches right now, because I really believe he's preparing us for a move of his Spirit that is going to take place that is probably going to surprise the daylights out of a lot of us, what God does, and I think the dimension of what he wants to do in these last days is going to be to raise up people like you and I that walk along with him. Now, we've been talking about the dynamic or what it means, what it looks like to literally have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit is real? How many of you believe the Father is real and the Son is real? How many of you believe angels are real? Anybody believe demons are real? Fallen angels, foolish angels that thought they could take on God and win, and they all lost, every single one of them. Well, I've expanded the title of the message tonight from where we were last week. It's kind of an expansion on that. We talked about this having a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But I want to look at it this way. Want to read this with me? Cultivating a growing friendship, fellowship, partnership, and companionship with God the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember cassette tapes? That title would never fit on any cassette tape. It's just way, way too long. But I want to talk about this for, I don't know how long it will be, but think about how deeply the Holy Spirit has been involved in our lives. All that has happened by the ministry of the Spirit of God, unbeknownst to you, before you ever said or even thought of saying yes to Jesus Christ. How many of you at one point in your life, you decided to say no to Jesus Christ? You decided to say no to religion, no to Christianity, no to church or whatever it was. But think about how deeply the Spirit of God was involved in our lives as he drew us to Jesus or led us to Jesus. Or as he moved into us, the Holy Spirit moved into us, took up residence in us when Jesus became our Messiah. You know what Messiah means, don't you? Your rescuer, your Savior. There's many ways to say the same thing, but as Messiah became your rescuer, and you said, Lord, come in. Well, he came in, and the Spirit of God moved in you, and the Spirit of God gave you a new life. He's the one that comes to empower us. I love this Greek word behind the word power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's the word dunamis. We do get the word dynamite. It doesn't mean blowing things up. It's talking about a spiritual dynamic that isn't just resident in any of us all by ourselves. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the enablement where he brings the abilities and the giftings and the directions, and he prepares to take us where? Anywhere he wants. And ultimately, where's he going to lead his church? Everywhere. Because he sent his church. He said, you go everywhere. Go even to the ends of the earth. That's one of our broken records here. To go here, there, and everywhere. As he leads us into ministry, as he opens doors of opportunities for us, and as he literally sets us up for encounters. As we say to him, I don't care how you say it, I don't even care if you articulate it like this, but as long as your heart, in one way or another, is saying, God, I want to serve you today. I'd be excited, I'd be willing, Lord, I'd be thrilled to speak to somebody for you or to serve somebody for you. How many of you go into the day with that kind of a mindset? Maybe even looking and expecting, where's it going to be? Is it going to be across the counter at a coffee shop or a restaurant? Like I love that story that Pastor Shaddy shared last week at the end of his message. Do you remember that? I love that. Because it didn't leave us hanging. I hope what it did is left you hoping that God would use you in that kind of way, where some maybe you would have the boldness to say to your waiter or your waitress or a busboy or just a person in the next booth sitting next to you, say, hey, you know what? I talked to God. And I would love to talk to him on your behalf. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And I love that story where the woman basically seemed to be saying, no, I don't need that. And he didn't let go. I love the boldness of that guy. And then when she turns her head and she says, how did you know? How could you have known? I love it when God does that. This is not quite as dramatic about that, but But last night I was, Shaddy and I went down to the radio station, K-Wave, and we do a live broadcast on Tuesday afternoons. And so I had Jeff go with me the week before. I usually do it alone, but Shaddy went with me. And then after the program was over, I decided I wanted to go over to the Hoka store. It's my favorite shoes. It's the best shoes for my feet. And they're not always the prettiest shoes or the coolest looking shoes, but man, they work for my feet. I wanted to go over there because I thought they were cheaper over there. So it's over at Crystal Court. And I always just pull down underneath and I ride the escalator up. And I thought, I want to save a few steps because my foot was hurting a little bit. I want to save a few steps. I'm going to park on the top level. I'm going to walk in on the top level, which is right by, it's a taco shop that's in there. Can't think of the name of it. But as I'm walking in through that upper door, and I have to go up one more level, I look, and there, sitting in the chairs right outside the restaurant, right in front of me, are Scott and Lorraine Rogers. Some of you know Scott and Lorraine from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. They've been there since the early 1970s. And I had heard, I'd seen this on social media, that Scott had had a very serious heart failure and was in the hospital for about a month. Their son came back from the mission field in China to be with them for a while, and now is back in China. And so they didn't see me walking up, and Scott was just sitting there at the table like this. His food was in front of him, but his head was just down like this. And he was sitting in a chair, and his little walker, sort of wheelchair walker, was beside him. And so I came up just goofing around. I said, hey, do you mind if I borrow this rolling chair here for a bit? And they looked up at me, and Lorraine said, you know, man, Scott's not feeling really well right now. And I knew why I was there. I knew why I was there. That wasn't a stranger. That was an easy conversation. But I never go in that side door there. And so I said, hey, let me pray for you. So we fellowshiped for a while, and I prayed for him. And then I went off to look for the shoes, and I didn't get them. And I'm coming back that way, and they're still there. And I knew that God wanted to go further in that time of ministry to them. And we just had the sweetest time, believing that God was in the middle of that. And when he moves in your life like that, then you move along with him, and asking him to lead you into ministry and open up doors of opportunity. Well, the Holy Spirit did that, and I was just trying to save myself a few steps. There was no spiritual sense in my head of, oh, Bill, thou shalt go to the top level of the parking structure, and when thou enterest into the doors there, thou shalt find a man in deep need. It was just save a few steps on your aching foot. And God had something better in mind than me. And I love the way that God does it. All of that, though, begins with a very, very primary and simple truth. And this is what I want to get to tonight about this idea of this partnership that God is inviting us into with the Holy Spirit. Christian, listen, I don't think life here on this planet gets any more exciting than it does when you're walking in that sort of flow of the Spirit. And you don't get goosebumps all the time when it's about to happen. But I'll tell you what, when you look back on the other side of eternity, like my friend David is right now, from the heavenly side, and you're able to see what all those intersections were all about that God set up, and you just showed up. So what does it mean to have this growing friendship and fellowship and this dynamic of partnership with the Holy Spirit? Well, I want you to, I'm not going to put any verses up on the screen for you tonight, except for the reference, because I want you to turn to these in your own Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would turn there with me, please. And even though we've started in our Bible study a little later than normal, we're going to end on time. And with time to make a presentation of our lives before the Lord and say, God, here I am. I'm ready to run with you and serve you. In Hebrews chapter 11, It's one of your favorite chapters in the Bible. If you've been reading the Bible for a while, it talks about people just like you that God did great things through. And here's where it all started. I'm going to read from verse 1, Hebrews 11. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony," speaking about the Old Testament leaders of the nation of Israel. "And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." In other words, God spoke and it came into existence. "So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." And it was the last thing he did too, wasn't it? And his life ended. "But he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks." He's been dead a long time. Third human being to show up on the planet, and his life is gone, but he continues to speak about offering what is worthy to God. Verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God." Beautiful statement. "But without faith," read this with me if you would, "but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is." Wow, that's kind of basic, isn't it? He that comes to God comes with a faith that God is there, that God is real. "He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder." Read that one out loud with me, please. "And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Not just those who say, "Oh, God's good, and God's so good, his goodness will catch up to me. I'm just going to go to the beach all day, every day." But the person that sets their heart to seek the Lord diligently, a stance of surrender to God. Those who come to God must believe, number one, that he's there, and secondly, that he is ready to reward us. And what is the reward? I think the reward is that we get to serve him and we get to be used by him in days like this. So we come because we know that he is there. 1 John chapter 5, you're so close to it, turn to it. Would you? You just got to go forward just a little bit from Hebrews, past Peter's letters, to 1 John chapter 5. Two verses. "We come to the Father knowing that he hears us." Look at this in verse 14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know, and if we know that he hears us," here's a contingency put on that. If we know that he hears us, and I'm not just speaking words, but I'm in a dynamic relationship, a living, serious, sincere relationship with God, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I come to the Father knowing that he's listening to me when I pray. Knowing, not just hoping, not just wishing, but knowing that he's with me. The next one, you got to turn back just a little bit to Romans. Romans, I'll give you the page number here in a second. It'll mean nothing to any of you except maybe three of you. No. But Romans chapter 10. We come to Jesus calling upon his name for salvation. We call out to him what? Believing that he's listening to us. How many of you remember the day that you, let's say it, prayed the prayer or made the surrender of your life? Let me see the hands of those. Now, how many of you are more convinced now that God is real than even that day when you raised your voice and it was sort of like, "Oh Lord, I hope you're there, but I'm believing you're there." But now you know it because he answered you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, simple passage. What does it say? "The word of the Lord is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith. I'm sorry, I'm up a few verses too many. Look at verse 11. "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who," what? "All who call upon him." And now read verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on the Father knowing that he's listening. You call on Jesus for salvation because you know he's listening. And he saves those who call upon him. Back up two chapters. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I need to back up and find the other verse that I was looking for, because I put in the wrong reference. It's a verse that says that we walk with the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And so when I call upon the Father, when I call upon the Son, when I call upon the Holy Spirit to lead, wouldn't it be foolish if I didn't believe that he was really listening to me? He's listening to me. He's hearing me. And I don't think, I wouldn't say he assumes, because he would know whether or not I'm sincere. But knowing when I'm sincere and I say, God, I don't want to waste my time wandering. I want to be led by you. So Spirit of God, would you lead me? Would you guide my steps? Would you somehow direct me to the third level at Crystal Court so I know exactly where I'm supposed to be that night? You know, and I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, just lead my life today. But you call upon him because you know that he hears you. Now, maybe the foundation of this life in the Spirit and this walk in the Spirit is this tiny little verse. I'm going to give you time to find this one. It's in the Old Testament. It's Amos, your favorite cookies, your famous Amos cookies. But Amos. And maybe the foundation of this life in the Spirit, this walk in the Spirit, this partnership with the Holy Spirit is found in this tiny little verse. Go ahead, take your time. You'll find it. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Any of you remember the song that I taught you on the Minor Prophets years ago? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Okay, Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Do we turn all the way here for this? I mean, this is a half a sentence. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Would you say that out loud with me? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And there is an invitation, an expectation that Paul lays down in the book of Romans, where he expects that a believer in Jesus is going to want to walk with Jesus, going to want to walk with the Father, that a Christian's going to want to walk in obedience to and in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Well, can we walk with the Holy Spirit unless we're in agreement with the Holy Spirit? Can I walk with the Father and the Son unless I'm in agreement with them? And how do I get in agreement with them? It's the simplest thing in the world. I surrender. It means that I stop striving with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if anybody here has ever done that. When you feel sense, even to the point of knowing that this nudge in your heart that's calling you, pick up the phone and call that person. And you're thinking, oh, but we're not getting along, Lord. All the more, call that person. Or he says, there they are. Oh, man, I've had God do that, and I'm so thankful that he did. He's put them there in my path. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, they're in the next aisle. They're in the history section. I'm in the geography section here at the bookstore. But there they are. And knowing that there's something maybe that's not right between us, and he set up the opportunity. And when he sets it up and he says, there it is, I need to agree with him. Can I walk with the Spirit if I'm always pulling in the opposite direction? I'm praying, I'm hoping that you're getting the sense of the fact that if you as a surrendered follower of Jesus Christ are saying, God, I want you to lead my life. I want to be in as much in service as I can be in your agenda today and tomorrow and the rest of my life. And if I say that to him and God takes me seriously at my word, and then I begin to walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit, it means that I've stopped striving. It means that I begin to cooperate and partner with the Holy Spirit. And it's not always an easy way to live, but it's a wonderful way to live. It's a fruitful way to live. And it's not the kind of quote-unquote ministry that's going to draw thousands of people into an auditorium to listen to me speak the holy word of God. Oh, but as I obey him, and one step at a time, this life in the Spirit is going to be a dynamic, exciting life, day by day and step by step, where I get to plant seeds for him that are going to sprout for his glory. Well, I've got, I think, just two more verses for us to look up, two more passages. And they're back in the New Testament, and they're pretty close together. So turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13. Starting at verse 11. There's both passages. You can look up Philippians as well. Both on the same theme. But listen to this. I didn't think about this until a couple of days ago, and just a shred of this verse came back to my mind. And I'll tell you which word it was. You'll probably pick it out when I get to it. But here is Paul is wrapping up his last letter to the Corinthians, which is probably his fourth letter. We don't have the first two. But he says, finally, brethren, bye-bye. You know, farewell. And you know, when Paul says farewell for the first time, he's not done. He's just beginning to say goodbye. Isn't it that way at your house? How many times do you say goodbye before you really go bye-bye? But he says, finally, my brethren, farewell. Become complete. Ooh. He's saying, keep growing. Please, can everybody look up here? I'm gonna scan the congregation. Keep growing. Don't get so complacent that you think you've arrived. Just because I got my face on M&M's doesn't mean I've arrived. but keep growing. Become complete. God is just getting started maybe in your life. You know how much he wants to do in you and through you. But finally, my brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And that's how they always greeted one another. That's still how they do it in Romania and France and Australia. But greet one another with a warm greeting is the idea. And all the saints here greet you. In other words, they're blowing kisses at you, I guess, from a distance. But look at verse 14. Read this with me, please. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How many of you have a different translation and a different word besides communion right there? The fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that one came to mind this week, and that's what's prompted this time tonight and probably next week as well. Next week, I'm going to be here with two pastor friends of mine with whom we've been putting together these pastors' conferences of about six or seven, either pastors or six or seven pastoral couples, Storm Brothers and the Storm Couples Retreats. But the three of us are going to share the platform together and go deeper into this whole, shouldn't be a mystery, but for some of us it is, this thing, this dynamic of what it means to walk with the Spirit and fellowship with the Spirit. That word, just as it was rattling around in my brain, and I looked it up and found it there. And one of those cool ways that Paul would always end his letters with, this is a different kind of a salutation. It's not just grace and peace and God bless you and a kiss to you. But he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul, I believe, envisioned this dynamic relationship with this church in Corinth, that they would be as deeply vested in the work of the gospel there in Corinth as he was wherever he was at that point. That they would find themselves just given to it. I think it might even be earlier in this chapter where Paul talks about one particular couple, a husband and wife in the church. He says, and you know these people because they're addicted. They're addicts. They're addicted. They're junkies. But what kind of junkies were they? They were addicted to the service of the saints. They gave themselves. They couldn't get enough of it. If there's somebody in need, oh, let us go help them. There's people that have those gifts, but it, certainly use whatever gifts, but fellowship with the Spirit. May your fellowship with the Spirit be so deep and so genuine that you hear the whispers of the Spirit at night. You're not listening for weird voices, but when He speaks and when He touches, when He nudges, you're moving because you know that it's Him. One more. Philippians, just a few pages over to the right in your Bible, Philippians chapter 2. And a few verses here, and then we'll close. It says this, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's anything good going on between you, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. You're going to want to do some underlining in this portion. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, on the same page, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let you know how devastating an ounce of division is in a family. No, whether it's a church family or your family or my family, to get everybody on the same page. How many of you remember that one brief moment when all the kids were on the same page with you? Maybe that was your reality. But isn't it sweet when everybody's moving towards the same thing and striving for the same thing and working for a common goal? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Talk about humility. Our pastoral staff right now is reading through the book, Humility by Andrew Murray, and it's a powerful, tiny little book. This isn't just a little book, it's a tiny book, but it's such a powerful message, and it talks about the humility of Jesus when he descended as a baby. The humility of Jesus, the creator of the universe, stopping to touch a leper and heal the, you know, people that were outcasts, and the humility of Jesus as he descends to the cross and he goes down, down, down. Said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. See what happens after humility? God exalts the humble. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And I see all of this rolling out of this simple statement that Paul makes at the beginning of chapter 2. He says, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if you're getting anything good done, it will be because you're cooperating together, not just individually, but together under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and reaching out together in His name and touching people that you wouldn't even put on your guest list at one point in your life. And here you find yourself loving what God loves, loving the family of God, standing and striving and working together. Paul presented the very real possibility here, and I want to close with this, the very real possibility of cultivating a growing friendship. I'll put it back up on the screen again. This is possible. This can be a reality in your life and my life. But for me to make that a reality, there's some other things that might be a reality right now that I need to quit fellowshipping with. There might be some levels of involvement that I have no business being involved in. There may be some things that I've allowed into my life that I'm partnering with, or that have just dominated my life, that I need to ask God to remove from my life. and then plug into this relationship and begin to cultivate this growing friendship, fellowship, partnership, and companionship with God, the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Well, does that mean that we sit around and we listen for those faint whispers or strange screeching sounds at night, calling us to rise and be holy? Or mysterious words that are somehow scrawled on a rainy windshield. Oh no, I'm sure it said, I'm sure, and you saw the initials. I heard this story of a guy that looked up in the, and he was a guy that loved Jesus, looked up in the sky and he sees in the clouds, GP, GPC. And he looks up there and he knows what it means. It means go preach Christ, go preach Christ. And so he went to his pastor, and he told him, I know that I'm to give my life to the preaching of the gospel. And I'm called to go preach Christ. And he said, well, how about teaching a Bible study? And he did, and it was terrible. He didn't have the gift. And he said, you know, brother, I think maybe that meant go plant corn. Just keep doing what you were doing and just be faithful at that. But God has a call on every single one of our lives to make a difference. It means that we wait upon him. And I'm probably not going to, you know, run with all of my life and my resources on a couple of strange little characters that show up scrawled in the sand on a morning when I'm walking down there. It begins by hearing God's written word, doesn't it? Opening my life, my heart, to be filled with this Spirit-breathed word. Can I just say, you and me, and just same for me as it is for you, if this is not a steady part of my diet, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to serve. I'm not ready to speak. I'm not ready to stand forth and run. I have to keep myself in the Word of God, and so do you. It means hearing God's Word, then seeking to live it out. And yes, it includes waiting, and quietly waiting, and serving humbly, and doing what's right before us. But quite honestly, it begins by just believing that He is there, and He's listening to you. And when your heart is open and you're ready to pour out that prayer or speak forth that prayer of surrender, God, okay, finally, Lord, and this is one of the most important prayers in all the world. Not my will, Lord. Can you finish that prayer? Let yours be done. No longer, Lord, I've lived this far in my life, 52 years in my life. Well, I wish I was still 52. But I've lived this many years. Maybe it's 7 years for you. Maybe it's 17, whatever it is. I've lived this far, trying to live the Christian life on my own agenda. And no longer, Lord, my will, but now your will. Where's he going to take me if I say that? Exactly where you need to be. Stop being afraid of that and start praying that prayer. He really will. Believing that he really is inviting you to set your sail for the wind that he's about to stir up. And you begin to follow him. You want to live that life? Anybody want to live that life, really? Okay. It means prepare. It means prepare, and it means purify, and it means surrender. Present your life to him, maybe tonight, right now, as a living sacrifice. So Jesse's going to share or lead us in a couple of songs, and then we're going to dismiss, maybe to encourage one another a little bit more in a circle of fellowship, but go deeper in that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Get to know him. Get to know him so that when you meet him in heaven, when you meet the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be surprised, so surprised, because you'll know what he's like. You'll walk closely with him here. So, Father in heaven, we love you, Lord, and we're so thankful that you have called us to believe in Jesus. You've called us to salvation. And, Father, I pray for any man, woman, or young person in here tonight, Lord, that hasn't surrendered to you. You've been drawing them by your Spirit, maybe even raising your voice. Father, may this be the night, the moment that you get their attention. Maybe somebody watching this online right now, Lord, and they've resisted long enough, and now is the time, right now is the moment to say, God, I give up, and I give into your will. Save me, restore me, whatever it is that they need to say, Lord, hear their prayers tonight as they call upon you. Thank you, God, that you're a healing God, that you're a holy God, you're a powerful God. You're so full of love and grace. Lord, we want to fellowship with you. Holy Spirit, we want to fellowship with you. Oh, make yourself known to us. Fill us with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Why not tonight? Why couldn't tonight, a quiet night at Refuge, with busy stuff going on all around us in so many different rooms, why not tonight, right here in this place, be the night where someone here makes that final surrender or that massive return, that just the turning of the trajectory of your life back to the will of God? Why not right now, tonight? And if you make that call upon Him, you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You shall be restored. You shall be forgiven. You shall be redirected. You call upon Him and trust in it. He's going to move you to a new place tonight, tonight. So if you want to linger even longer here, you're more than welcome to do that. But don't step towards the door until you know that the business of the evening has been taken care of and that surrender has been made and you're back in lock with God. You're back in step with Him and you're moving in the right direction now. And don't expect there to not be opposition. Don't expect that there won't be resistance, because the enemy doesn't want you to go walk in the right direction. There's this great story. It's a make-believe story, but in the Screwtape Letters that C.S. Lewis wrote about a young man that the devil is trying to discourage him from walking on, and he's just come to Christ, and he's in the library, and he's reading, and this one demon, so to speak, is told to distract, telling him this, distract that guy, let him hear the noisy bus that goes by, and to break his concentration. And sometimes you have to fight past those things and stay on course, stay on track, and not let yourself get nudged off track. How many of you believe God wants to do great things in you and through you? Contend for those things. So, Father, have your way. Have your way. And I do, Lord, I want to lift up my brother's family, Lord, the Mueller family. Oh, God, would there be such a Holy Spirit comfort that comes over the Mueller tribe tonight, Father God. And even a joy, Lord, that there'd be some joy in the mix of all of this, of just realizing that their joyful father, husband, grandfather, uncle is dancing for joy in the presence of Jesus tonight, Lord. So, Lord, in the midst of their pain, Lord, I pray that you would pour in your joy as well and your hope, Lord God. And I pray for Jan and all the kids and the grandkids, Lord, that they'd find that tonight. So, Lord, bless your people as we step out of this room and into your plan for our lives, Lord. We're thrilled to walk with you, to fellowship with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Grace and peace to all of you. God bless you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.